everyone. Back with you on The Takeaway. This week, the mobile messaging platform WhatsApp revealed a major security flaw that could have made its 1.5 billion users vulnerable to hacks. The company announced that hackers targeted a flaw in WhatsApp software to gain access to users' phones. The tools the hackers used reportedly bear a resemblance to those developed by NSO Group, an Israeli cyber firm that has been accused of providing tools to spy on journalists and human rights advocates. WhatsApp has not said if specific users were targeted or how many may have been compromised. Molly Roberts is an editorial writer covering technology and society for The Washington Post, and she's been covering the breach. Molly, nice to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what specifically were these hackers looking for?
Well, it really depends on the government that was using the tools developed by NSO Group, but essentially what they were given access to by just placing a call or a video call to a WhatsApp number was the entirety of a user's phone. So they were given access to the microphone, to the camera, and then from that, they were able to take a look at a lot of what was on the device. So not only WhatsApp messages.
And we're hearing that the attack has been linked to the NSO Group, an Israeli cyber firm. What do we know about them, and why are people making that connection?
So they're making that connection because the analysts who've taken a look at this have said that the software has a similar digital footprint to what they've seen before from this group. What we know is that this group was operating in secret until about 2016, when their software was found on the phone of a now jailed human rights activist in the United Arab Emirates. And since then, there have been a number of lawsuits. Activists have been raising alarms that they are providing this software to government and law enforcement agencies to spy on kind of whoever they want to spy on. So NSO Group says, well, we are vetting these people for human rights concerns. We are ensuring that they're using it legitimately for law enforcement purposes. But it has been given to some questionable governments, including the UAE, including Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Morocco, some governments whose human rights records aren't really perfect. And so it's uncertain how they'll be using it. Once they have the software, they can kind of do what they want.
One of our producers spoke to John Scott Railton, who's a senior researcher at Citizen Lab, and they're an academic investigative group at the University of Toronto. Let's take a listen to what John had to say about NSO.
This most recent case, if indeed this is NSO, is troubling because it suggests that no trickery is required. You can just target anybody with a WhatsApp number.
What does he mean by no trickery is required there?
So what he means is that we've all been told to look out for phishing attacks. We've been told not to click suspicious links or maybe even now to answer suspicious numbers. What's particularly interesting about this attack and particularly pernicious is that it's a quote-unquote zero-click attack. You don't even have to answer this phone call. These numbers were calling. They were coming from a strange location. The London human rights lawyer who noticed this was getting calls from Sweden, but then they'd hang up after about two rings. And without him or anyone else who's been subject to these attacks doing anything, the software is able to gain access to the phones.
Is there anything that people can do, or are there any particular devices that are more safer than others?
So what people can do, at least for the WhatsApp vulnerability, is download an updated version of WhatsApp, because WhatsApp, once this was discovered, worked frantically to patch the problem and has announced that the problem has been patched if you download an updated version.
Molly, I want to go back because we just ended the previous section by talking about what people can do if they're afraid of being targeted here. And really, the answer is to download a patch from WhatsApp. That feels, I think a lot of times when this happens, it feels like the end user, the consumer, the person who's using all of this, it's on us to keep ourselves safe. What about WhatsApp?
So I think that it is absolutely true that it feels a little frustrating that there is not all that much the consumer can do. There's certainly a burden on WhatsApp and a burden on any company that is promising to keep a user's communications private. And WhatsApp and those other companies are trying, theoretically, to be constantly vigilant about what vulnerabilities there are in their software, and then patching them as they're discovered. So essentially, they would simulate being a hacker. They would say, if I wanted to get in, if I wanted to get information, are there any ways that I can do it? And the better companies will be doing a better job of that, and they will be trying harder at it. It is really hard to say from this case that WhatsApp isn't one of those better companies. The reality is that there's no perfect security.
Facebook purchased WhatsApp for $19 billion in 2014. Facebook is the parent company here. Aren't they ultimately responsible for the breach?
Yeah, I think Facebook certainly has some responsibility for the breach to the extent that they are the parent company of WhatsApp, but it is still WhatsApp employees who are searching for these vulnerabilities, and it is still the WhatsApp management under Facebook that is responsible for making sure that its app is as secure as it can be.
I'd love to play one more clip from John Scott Railton from Citizen Lab. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
WhatsApp has done something quite remarkable. They reached out to human rights groups in advance of the public notification and are clearly leaning pretty hard into this case. So I think WhatsApp users can be reassured that the company is very concerned about this and is clearly doubling down on trying to prevent and block abuse.
Molly, how confident should people be using WhatsApp going forward?
Well, I think that WhatsApp is concerned about the security of its customers, particularly because one of the advantages of WhatsApp that it has touted is that it's supposed to be a private platform. These communications are end-to-end encrypted, which is different from communications on a lot of other platforms. So it is really in their interest to prioritize this idea of privacy and security along with it above all else, and to stress that they do care a lot about that. You mentioned Facebook has some responsibility too. Of course, Facebook is not known for having a terrific record on privacy. So to the extent that WhatsApp can differentiate itself, that's really important. I think that people can still feel far more secure using WhatsApp than they can using a platform that's not end-to-end encrypted. But particularly when you are a human rights activist or a journalist operating in a country with a bad record on those issues, there's always going to be something to be concerned about. You should be trying to use the most private and the most secure app possible. I think that Telegram, which is a secure messaging app, has said, at least that it thinks, that it would not be vulnerable to this kind of attack.
Well, then if Telegram can do that, then why can't WhatsApp do that? I mean, ultimately, yeah, these are free programs. They have billions of users. And it just feels like we are paying with our data and our security.
Right. And I wonder if WhatsApp will rethink some of its more core and basic infrastructure because of this. It's hard to say. It sounds like it's possible that they were vulnerable over their voice over internet protocols. And that was something that's because you can do calling, not only texting, within WhatsApp. And it is possible that they will rethink how those are built for a more security-minded approach.
Molly Roberts is an editorial writer covering technology and society for The Washington Post. Molly, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
We reached out to WhatsApp for comment, and they told us, quote, "We're constantly working alongside industry partners to provide the latest security enhancement to help protect our users." We also reached out to the NSO group, and they told us, quote, "NSO's technology is licensed to authorize government agencies for the sole purpose of fighting crime and terror."
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.